That song fits what the Lord's been telling us, doesn't it? Amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50 and verse 6. We've talked about, out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 11 and 12, and many false prophets shall go out into the earth and deceive many. There's a lot of emphasis today on ministries that have great persuasion. Not a lot is known about the real fundamental theology of a lot of preachers today. We have found in a shockingly, bracingly true way that there are people who do not believe that Jesus is the only way to God that are preaching in mega churches this morning. And without that truth, the gospel, like a house of cards, crumbles and falls. If Jesus isn't the only way to God, then it doesn't require the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. And Jesus died, in essence, in vain. There were so many other ways to God. He didn't have to suffer like that. And there are preachers today preaching from the book that you hold in your hand, but they're preaching portions of it that they have, the Bible actually called it the cunning craftiness of men, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. Brother Wimble, how do you know a man's heart? I don't have to see his heart to know that if he reads this book and wrongfully divides it, there's something wrong in his heart. There's some ulterior motive in preaching. God knows if I'm preaching today, amen, for something that you can give me materially or emotionally, some kind of applause, or I'll tell you what, I'm not. If I was in it for my glory, I would try to get before a camera. I'd try to get in some huge church. I'd try to get some huge offering. I wouldn't have worked 12 years in a production plant and preached every Sunday and studied every Saturday night until 3 and 4. Thing about me studying on Saturday night is that if I start studying on Saturday night, I get excited about what I'm studying. I don't need caffeine. I don't need stimulants. I get stimulated by the Word of God. And it excites me. Amen. And then I look at the clock and it's 3 in the morning and I got to get up at 8. And I'm saying, you know, but all these thoughts now and all this stuff is rolling around on the inside of me. And I get excited. It excites me. Praise God. So I'm laying there at 5 in the morning just thinking about what I just studied and how glorious it is. Amen. And then it's, I get 3 hours sleep and coming. That's back when I was, working 5 and 6 days a week. Sometimes work on Saturday, get home at 9 o'clock Saturday night and start studying about midnight. And then about 5 in the morning, I'm laying down and I'm coming here to preach over a lot of times that happened over those 12 years. And boy, my old body got tired, but my spirit never got tired. My soul. See, when you study to preach, it's not just so I can bring a message. Amen. I start feeding my soul on this stuff. Praise God. The Bible said the husbandman is supposed to be the first partaker of the fruits. Praise God. Well, I got it in me and I get excited and then I just come down and try to share it with everybody else. And sometimes I want everybody else to be as excited as I am on Sunday morning, but I spent most of Saturday night getting stirred up. And most of you spent most of Saturday night just trying to get rested so you can make it to church on Sunday. Can you say amen? So you come in, with all your cares and all your pressures and all your responsibilities. And I have all those things too, but amen, on Saturday night, I've given so much to the Lord so I could study. I'm unburdened Sunday morning. Praise God. You'd be amazing how different your body even reacts when you unburden yourself to the Lord, when you cast your care on Him. The Lord told us last week or week before that a lot of our healing is not going to come through the supernatural touch of God, but for us simply unburdening ourselves, amen, so that our bodies are not reacting to stress anymore, amen. Wouldn't it be great if everybody in here could really, truly cast all of our care? I can't get out of my responsibilities, but I can get out of the stress that they bring me by trusting God for grace, sufficient and for strength. I got three senior citizens that my wife and I are caring for. One in my home, one in the nursing home near us, and one just down the street from us. And believe me, one of the three needs something 24/7. We don't run 24/7, but you're caregiver. We're glad you made it today. Somebody must be angel come and stand in this morning for you. And she's doing better, so she didn't even need the angel to stand in today. Amen. You made it. Praise you. I'm glad she's doing better. Boy, that's good. When our loved ones do better, we say hallelujah. If they're doing better, then we can do better. Amen. In that sense. But listen to me carefully as we read this scripture. These are the last days. The Bible said many false prophets will go out into the earth and deceive many. And because iniquity would abound, amen, you're going to be hard-pressed to hear preaching on sin anymore, because that is passé. That's not what brings them in, and that's not what brings the offering in. We just don't hear a lot about the four-letter word. I've heard preachers lace their sermons to be contemporary and in, lace their sermons with four-letter words. And the church doesn't get upset if they slip and use a four-letter word to prove a point anymore. But I'll tell you what upsets the church today that is waning in its love for Christ. It's the three-letter word. I mean, know what that word is. Sin. Brother Bimble, are you one of those fire and brimstone preachers? Let me clarify something. Pentecostals did not coin the phrase fire and brimstone. The one who said that, his name is Jesus. Can you say amen? This is not what a preacher came up with to scare people into the kingdom. And I'll tell you something. If it's just the fear alone of going to hell and you never appreciate the cross and appropriate it in your life, amen, you can run to this altar and pray some of those alligator tears. But when you go out that door after a while, that fear will wane. You'll get involved with your old friends and your old ways, and that fear will wane. Can you say, man, that conviction will be like a dream you had at church, amen, and it'll pass away. It has to be something more than that, but we still need that to counterbalance, amen, the love of God. Because if we preach the love of God without the sure judgment that is coming, we don't have a full picture of the character and nature of God. Amen. The reason Jesus had to go to that cross is because God is holy and he can't look over sin. We can look over things. We love our kids. We look over things. Sometimes we spoil them. Sometimes we look over too much. Sometimes we're too strict. But we have the capacity to just write it off. God is too holy to write anything off. His holiness demands that he judge sin. And that's why Jesus had to come. He had to die on the cross. He had to take the wrath. He had to take the punishment. Because if he didn't, there's no way that God could legitimately, legally forgive us and still be holy. Can you say amen? Amen. So in his holiness, he says, I have to judge sin. And you've sinned. But in his great love for you, everybody say his great love for you. He said, but I don't want that for you. I want to forgive you. I want to cast your sin. I want to disassociate you from your sin. How far, church? As it is written, saith the Lord, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west. Praise God. That means you will never be associated with your past sins or any sin that's been forgiven ever again. People won't do that for you. Then you say amen. There's some people that will forgive you, and there's some people that will not forgive you. They're going to hold some kind of grudge in their heart. Can you say amen? But they're going to have to answer to God for that, and so would we if we did it. But when God forgives, God forgets. Say it with me. When God forgives, God forgets. Amen. So I'm not buying into this manipulating, merchandising gospel today, this easy believism. Christ that I follow is worth denying myself, amen, taking up my cross in order to follow him. Amen. You know, the disciples left everything. They gave up everything. They left lucrative fishing businesses and left their nets and followed Jesus. And you know what? They told him, they reminded him, they said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. And you know what he asked him? Did you lack anything? Well, he couldn't have been talking about the material, because they left all of that. Amen. One man ran to Jesus and said, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, come on, I'll make you rich. Come on, you're going to have all the, you're going to retire at 52 and live in a beautiful chalet in the mountains of Switzerland or in the summer. And in the winter, you're going to go to your summer house down in the Bahamas or down in Aruba. Is that what he said? He said, the foxes have holes. The birds have nest. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. He said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to follow me for the right reason. Everybody say the right reason. And it can't be just to get rich and famous. Amen. Oh, Abraham is a good example of a man who was both rich and famous. But boy, you should see Abraham's attitude. You know what he did with his fame and his riches? He lived in tents his whole life. He could have built a palatial estate as a testimony to his success. But you know what he did in his favor with God? But you know what he did? The Bible said he lived in tents his whole lifetime. Why? Because he looked for a city. The Bible said because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Amen. He knew all of this is going to pass. City I'm looking for is eternal. City I'm looking for is permanent. Everything else is temporary. Why should I try to build something permanent when I'm living in a body that's passing anyway? If I build this big house, I can't stay in it. Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle, this house you live in, everybody say, this house I live in. Everybody say, bone bag. You know what your body is? You know what you're worth for first? You know what? If they grind your bones and if they melt you down, grind your bones and make chemicals out of it, you're worth about $20. Your body. You know where the value is? It's in that eternal you that's living on the inside of this thing. Praise God. I looked in the mirror the other day and I was shocked. We got a new mirror. New mirror we got tells it like it is, honey. And the lighting hits it just right. A makeup mirror, who would use such a thing? Ladies, don't look in that thing. Amen. Have you ever seen one of those 6X makeup mirrors that make your lines around your eyes look like craters on the moon or something? You know, this look like Heckle and Jekyll danced on your face last night. Amen. Don't look in that thing. It's terrible. I mean, it shows every little flaw, every little thing. We're aging. You know why we're aging? Because we live in faulty bodies in a fallen world, and Abraham knew it. And Abraham knew, listen, this is going to pass. All of this is going to pass away. We need somebody to point us to that that's eternal.
Amen.
Amen. Let me read this. If I don't read it, we won't get it read, and we'll know where we're going next time. Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, listen. My people hath been lost sheep. Now that should never happen to God's sheep. My people have been lost sheep. They're shepherds. Remember what I read you out of the New Testament? Many would go out into the land and deceive many. They're shepherds. Have caused them to go astray. Make no mistake about it. God is going to hold every preacher that preaches this morning distinctly, directly accountable for his sheep. Can you say amen? I'm going to an account for what I tell you today. If I never see you again, if you never give another penny in the offering, amen, I'm going to account for what I tell you today. If you don't want to make eye contact with me after the service, amen, because I hit a nerve. Honey, if the Word of God hits you today, a friend of mine that was a preacher, he said, you know what I tell my congregation? This was years ago. He said, dogs used to come, and we had girl dogs. And there, you know, girl dogs and boy dogs and all the dogs in the neighborhood back before leash laws and fences. And all these dogs would show up howling and fighting over the girl dogs and hollering and carrying on. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, he said his daddy would go out with birdshot. I don't even know if it was bird. Something wouldn't kill a dog, but it would really make him holler. And he said, I just shot into the bunch of them. I didn't aim at any of them. I wanted the sound, but occasionally one of them would get hit in the leg. He aimed near the ground. You know, said didn't want to really kill no dog. And I'd just stop them and scatter them and get some sleep so I'd get them go to work. And they just got pow. And he said I could always tell the one that got hit without even aiming. Well, which one gets hit? He said the one that hollers the loudest. Amen. Honey, believe me, when I preach to the whole congregation. But the Holy Ghost is going to narrow it down to somebody in particular. Amen. And you know what? Somebody's going to think that I'm preaching that to them. Well, I'm just preaching it because it's God's word. Amen. And if it comes to you personally, if it touches you personally, it's not because God is wanting to expose you or point his finger at you in a condemning way. It's because he wants to help you. It's because he loves you. It's because he doesn't want sin to hurt you and harm you. I don't want a doctor that finds a tumor that is operable. And if we get it now, amen, it won't press on my brain and cause me to die, amen, and to be in pain before I die. I want a doctor, if he sees that, to be completely upfront, completely honest with me, and tell me the truth. If it needs cutting out, then let's have the surgery. Oh, yeah, it's going to mess up my fishing trip. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to cancel my hunting trip so I can live to hunt another day. Amen. Can you say amen? But for goodness sakes, don't give me 2 aspirin because you don't want to interrupt my fun. Amen. Tell me the truth. I demand it. My son just went through a waiting period to see if his liver was going to let him live for 6 months or not. Amen. And he told the doctor, says, do not keep anything from me. Tell me the truth. And thank God he had a doctor that told him the truth. And when he thanked his doctor for telling him the truth, the doctor told him, because he knows something unusual has happened here, the doctor said, and said, don't thank me, son, thank God. Amen. Isn't that good to hear from a physician? Praise God, because he knows that God has personally intervened. Listen to this. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray and have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they've done it so long, listen, they have forgotten their resting place. Everybody say, they have forgotten their resting place. Can you say amen? I want you to know that when we see that word rest in the Bible, it will mean literally in both Hebrew and Greek, it will mean a reposing. It will mean a lying down. When God's sheep forget their resting place, we become as stressed as the world, because we are only pointed toward the things that the world can offer. When you're stimulated to serve God for the silver and gold, amen, and not for the peace that passes understanding, that comes through peace with God and the peace of God, you can accumulate things, amen, but what you can't buy with all you've accumulated is the peace that only God can give. Listen, the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. They're so troubled on the surface that it's affecting the bottom and the depths of the sea. It is that kind of stormy weather. Listen to this. They're just like the troubled sea whose waters turn that beautiful, crystal clear. You can't find that in Tampa Bay. You have to go down to Key West to see that kind of water. Amen. But when the storm or hurricane comes, it churns the bottom, and the waters become milky. They're not clear anymore. The waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. Amen. Peace can't be bought on the marketplace. One man who worked for the mafia as a hitman and got something like $10,000 or $20,000 a hit and even more, back when that was a lot of money, he said, I could rent in New York City a suite of rooms on the top floor, a penthouse. He said, I could spend $10,000 for one night in a penthouse suite in a particular hotel in New York City. He said, I could have a woman come to spend the night with me. I could have champagne. But I couldn't buy a minute's sleep. He would roll, tossed, and have to drink himself into inebriation to close his eyes because he could see the faces of the people that he had shot. And thank God the conscience wasn't yet seared, because if he could go to sleep, he could never be convicted. Can you say, man, God uses the conscience to convict. Amen. He placed it in us so that we could feel conviction and respond to conviction. Can you say amen? But when the conscience, the Bible said men's hearts can become so callous that the conscience is seared as a hot iron. We can sin without any conviction about it, and we never repent of those sins. We're not troubled by it anymore. I like what one Indian who was trying to describe what happened when he got saved, because the conscience becomes highly sensitized when you get born again. Amen. You can sin if you choose to, but it's not as much fun. Can you say amen? How many can agree with it? You can sin, but it's just not as much fun. You can sit there with everybody else that don't know the truth and don't know this is real, and try to drown your lack of peace with. And by the way, don't just get your mind on drinkers. There's a lot of people in this room that need the peace that God gives. Amen. We need the rest that this is talking about. But we only get it by coming back to that pasture that God has provided. And that pasture's right at the foot of the old rugged cross. Can you say amen? That's where it all started. Jesus is the Alpha, and He's the Omega. And He's all the in-between. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Praise God. But He's also the what? The Prince of Peace. You know what happens to you when you can't find that place of rest in the Lord, to where you really trust Him with everything? Amen. The Word of God, other things entering in, amen, does what to the Word of God? Your Bible study is ruined. Amen. Your hearing the Word of God through tapes or ministry doesn't produce a change in you. You're locked into the same old pattern. No matter what you hear, what you read, you come full circle back to the same old patterns. Why? Because other things enter in, do what to the Word of God? Choke the Word. And cause it to become what? Unfruitful. You're exposed to it. It's real. It has life in it. Can you say amen? But you've got to be able to focus on it and not you. It and not what's troubling you. Can you say amen? Him and not them. Amen. Amen. Every now and then I get focused on them instead of Him. And every time I look at them, I can't keep my eye on Him. Hallelujah. So I want to get my eyes back on Him. Amen. And commit them to Him. Hallelujah. He's the only one that can change them anyway. Amen. I wish I could change them. Sometimes I want to go and shake them. I have suppressed the desire to smack them, and I'm too old to do that anymore. Can you say amen? I told you I got one good fight left in me, and I'm saving it for the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Returning to our resting place. We are not a restful people. You know, through faith, you can defeat the Hittites. And the Jebusites, any more of them? Hittites, Jebusites, Perizzites. Well, they are. They're in the Bible. Perizzites. The Perizzites, the Hittites. Amen. The Amalekites. But you know what's really tough? God's people defeated all of them. You know what's really tough? The Uptites. Can you say amen? That's the toughie. That's the challenge today. See, when we're not taught how to really put our focus on Jesus and rest in His finished work at the cross, and we're looking for this, I've seen people trying to find the will of God about to go completely crazy. Yes. I mean, literally going nuts and climbing the wall. And I want to tell them, but they won't listen. They are so desperate to find the will of God. And usually what they're trying to do is make God give them something new and different, because they're so bored where they are in Him. And you say amen? I've seen uptight people make some terrible decisions. Amen. Awful decisions. And I want to tell them, can't you just be at peace long enough to really hear from the Lord? He might tell you He wants you where you are. Wouldn't that be a shocker? Amen. That maybe God don't want you to be a worldwide evangelist. Maybe He's got somebody out there doing that. Amen. Amen. Maybe he wants you to be where you are, to bloom where you're planted. If God wants you to go somewhere else and you got a yielded heart, he can talk to you if he will. Maybe he's not got anything to say. Amen. Did it ever occur to you that maybe God wanted you to do what you're doing?
Amen.
It's occurred to me. Somebody said, why? Amen. Why don't you? I had a lady come one time at the Holy Church of God. We had about 100 people then. Big crowd. Everybody say big crowd.
Yeah.
That back when we had a big crowd. Amen. About 100 people. By the way, the word is going by radio to the nations of the world. Amen. God's doing that on his own. And we have little to do with that. Praise God. But listen, when we had about 100 people, and a lady came from South Africa. She was visiting here, and she came after the service. She said, what are you doing in a place like this? What's a great preacher? I could just hear it ringing. What is a great preacher like you doing in a place like this? I mean, if the devil can't discourage you by telling you you're too little to do the big thing, he'll discourage you by telling you you're too big to do the little thing. Either way, he's going to get you agitated and out of the will of God, and he knows it. Can you say amen? So Satan really, through her, was appealing to my ego. She thought I should be in a larger congregation. What she didn't know was that they were videotaping the services, and I was preaching in Germany through videotape. At a military base in Germany, there was a lady from our church who married a military man. We got a military man right there. And you know what they were doing? They didn't have a church like this. In fact, I don't know anybody who has a church like this. But anyway, they didn't have a church like ours, a Pentecostal persuasion. On that military base, you know what they did? They put in a tank because they don't have a preacher like me. Praise God. Amen. I'm one of a kind. You said I was a character. Well, I'm an anointed character. Praise God. And I've got the joy of Jesus. And I've got healing in my body. Amen. And we interceded for my son for almost 30 years for acute alcoholism. Amen. It blocked up because he tried to talk about suicide, locked up, amen, because he had alcohol poisoning, locked up and locked in, amen. But listen to me, today he is 100%, absolutely, completely alcohol free. He didn't have to be locked up. Amen. He didn't have to take the pills the doctor gave him. He didn't go through DTs and withdrawal, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa. For 30 years, the devil defied me. We prayed for him, and the devil would come and say, how can your congregation believe when you teach faith? Well, faith hangs in there. Faith don't quit. Faith don't give up. And God will come through if we keep on believing. Can you say amen? I want to go on record as telling you that my son's salvation and deliverance is worth 30 years of believing, 30 years of praying, 30 years of proclaiming. Can you say amen? It's worth it. You say, Brother Bone, if you had great faith, it would have happened in 6 weeks. No, honey. It's easy when God does it in 6 weeks. It don't take great faith if you get an answer in 6 weeks. If you get an answer in 5 years, it don't take a whole lot of faith. But if you have to wait for about 30, you gotta everybody say, you gotta hang in there. Like a rusty fish hook. Say it with me, like a rusty fish hook. Can you say amen? Something called importunity. Listen, there were times I would get so agitated. I would go from aggravated with him because he knew so much and just wouldn't take that final step. Amen. To agitation on the other hand of saying, oh Lord, he just keeps going down this road. I don't want to bury my son. I want my son to bury you, even if you save him on his deathbed. I want my son to bury me. I just don't want to concede this to the devil. I want this victory. I want to see it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to see a victory when everything's going against what you're praying for. Well, that'll test your faith. You pray and it gets worse. Everybody say, you pray and it gets worse. Can you say amen? Oh, but hang on in there. There's a song says, my choir sings, it says, hey, just hang on in there. Amen. I don't know where it is or where you get it from, but I remember the chorus. Hang on in there. I think they made up that last part. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just hang on in there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, there is a place of rest. The only rest I could get is in recommitting him to God. But when I recommitted him to God, the rest came. I gave a testimony at the Church of God in Plant City. It's a big old Church of God. And I guess there's 30, 40 pastors there. And I gave a testimony. And he was part of that testimony. And God used and God touched because it encouraged people that are going through things and facing things and believing, putting your faith out there, not seeing any difference. That don't give up. Don't give in. Trust the Lord no matter what happens. We finally, with the all-pro pastors that I meet with, we're just pastors from all over in different denominations, and finally in Lakeland, it's really starting to thrive in Lakeland, but the First Baptist, the church on the mall, they bought a mall, turned it into a church, the whole thing, on Main Street in Lakeland. Is it Main Street? Church on the mall. Church in the mall. At the mall. There it is, church at the mall. They finally opened up. We expect about, on Memorial. We expect about 60 ministers to show up as they host a meeting. And the great thing about it is that pastors are crying out, the ones that I know, for revival in their churches. They're crying out for revival. They're not satisfied with just an offering or to get money for the building program. They want to see a change. They want to see God move. They want to see prayers answered. And when I'm able to go down and share an answered prayer, I watch the brothers that meet with me. I watch their eyes light up. I watch them a new attitude come in them because of an answered prayer. It's amazing what God does when we simply start getting prayers answered. When we don't pray, amen, and just it goes nowhere. When we see God come through, amen. The Bible said in John 15, I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might be within you, so that your joy might be full. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will. It will be done unto you. He didn't say it might be done immediately, but it will be done unto you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm just excited about seeing prayers answered. I'm excited about seeing my son supernaturally set free by the power of God after seeing him with alcohol poisoning and not knowing if he'd live another day, but to see him, praise God. Hallelujah. I asked him, what are you doing today, yesterday? He said, I'm cooking out, Dad. He was so addicted to alcohol, he would eat a steak and wake up the next morning and not know what he ate for supper. He was that far gone. He said, now, whatever I cook, I wake up with the full recognition because I'm clean and I'm sober. And it's such a beautiful day. He said, the yard needs raking, but it's too pretty to rake the yard. I thought he hadn't changed a bit. He's back to his old self. Hallelujah. That part of his brain is working just fine. Can you say amen? But I love to hear it. He said, Dad, I'm cooking out. And he said, I'm going to remember in the morning how good it was when I ate it. I can enjoy the things that were stolen from me because I was too inebriated to remember much of it. It's all a fog, but everything is clear. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Do-do-do-do-do. I can see all obstacles in my way. Do-do-do. Come on, you can do it. Come on, come on. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Work with me, work with me. I'm happy today. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's going to be a bright, so bright.
Dark clouds are heavy bound.
Come on, let's take that sanctified and make it a church song. How about it? Gone are the dark clouds that had me bound. It's going to be a bright, so bright, sunshiny day. Can you say amen? My son is enjoying a bright, sunshiny day. Praise God. Listen, hallelujah. Listen, it wasn't the silver and gold that hooked him. There's one thing that hooked into his heart that he never got away from, and that was the cross and the the one who died for him upon that cross. Can you say amen? One thing he learned under this ministry, that all the teaching on faith, all the teaching on victory, all the teaching on spiritual warfare is all connected to that cross where Jesus died and shed his blood. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be a preacher of the cross. Hallelujah. In a day when that has been set aside, I'm glad to be a proclaimer of the shed blood of Jesus and the power of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Venable, I know that. If you really know that, it'll rekindle the first love. It'll put your heart into a flame. It will excite you. It will ignite you. Can you say that? Hallelujah. We live in a sin-darkened world. Stress created by fear and anxiety is affecting even small children. Christians are not immune to the pressures of life in a fallen world. Let me read this from the Amplified that we just read in Jeremiah 15:6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray to favorite places of idolatry. On mountains that seduce. They've gone from one sin to another, one hill to another. What are they looking for? What are God's people looking for? What are we looking for? Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's confirmation. Listen, what are God's people looking for? We're looking for something to fulfill us. And instead of the church ministry pointing us to the only one who can, this is spiritual stuff. There's a God-shaped hole inside of every man, woman, boy, and girl on this earth. And everybody's going to go about their life trying to fill that vacuum that only God can fill. Can you say amen? Why do you think that a person who's killing themselves with drugs or with drink never gets enough? They always have to have more because they're unfulfilled spiritually. Because of that spiritual void, they're looking for something else. That's why the money message has took hold like it has. Because people are unfulfilled in Christ. Amen. And they're looking for something to fill that vacancy with. I'm going to tell you, amen, having food and raiment. Everybody say something from my belly. Clothes from my back. Say it with me. Food from my belly. Clothes from my back. How many got food for your belly? I didn't ask you if you're eating prime rib or beanie weenies. Amen. I ask you, can you fill this thing up? Amen. You're better off than about two-thirds of the entire world today if you can fill up on food today and eat your fill. Amen. How many got clothes for your back? You don't have to come to church naked. Can you say amen? You got clothes for your back. Having food and raiment, if you appreciate, appropriate, and understand what you possess in Jesus Christ, if you relate to him in such a way that he can fulfill you, that you don't have to compromise your faith to keep up with the Joneses. Who are these Joneses anyway? Can you say amen? And why do we think we have to compete with them? Why do we think we have to compete or compare with anybody in this fallen world? Can you say amen? We have found what the Bible said is a treasure hid in a field. When a man finds it, if it cost him everything he's got to get it, it's so important, so vital, so beautiful, so fulfilling. It makes us so rich in God that we sell everything we have if necessary just to possess what the kingdom offers us. By the way, what's going to bring Jesus back is not any gospel. It's not a watered-down, perverted, polluted version. Can you say, man, that accommodates the world and the flesh? No, when this gospel of the kingdom is preached into all the world for a witness. This gospel of what? The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And his righteousness. Praise God. Then shall the end come. Not the gospel of greed. Not the gospel of avarice. Not the gospel of self-exaltation and self-gratification. But the... Oh, by the way, you will be gratified. You will be happy. You will be fulfilled. Take a good look at me. I'm not acting like your average. At the Church of God, it's a big, big hoop-de-doo church in Plant City. You know what a hoop-de-doo church is? Sometimes I wish I had a hoop-de-doo church. But I'm going to get me a t-shirt that said, please, Lord, give me a huge church so I can prove to you that it won't change me. Can you say amen? But they introduced, they got the name wrong of our church. It's the Holy Church of God. They got it wrong. When the guy typed it up, because they had this big screen, you know, for the next speaker coming, I was next. They typed up, they got it right. I didn't know it either. I didn't know they'd done this. They typed it up. They typed up Reverend Robert A. Venable, Pastor Robert A. Venable, pastor of the Most Holy Church of God. And all, I could just see all those pastors out there when their eyes, remember Petey on the Little Rascals? Remember him when his eyes rolled like that? When that Most Holy went up, it's like, boy, he one of them. He's a holy, he's not just a holy roller like we thought he was. He's a Most Holy roller. Can you say amen? He's up there in the big league. I mean, this is the Most Holy. And first thing I had to do was give a disclaimer. So when I came up, I said, well, they got most of this right. My name is spelled right. But I said, we're not the Most Holy Church of God. I said, we're just the Holy Church of God. We're just striving to be holy. Amen. I said, Most Holy is beyond where we are right now. That's where we'd like to be, but we're just the Holy Church of God. And then everybody kind of loosened up a little bit. And then I told them, I said, my name is Robert A. Venable, and I have been a pastor in the city of Tampa. This is going on 37 years, and it hasn't bothered me. And I told them, I said, it don't take 36 years to get that twitch, does it, guys? Amen. There's a resting place. I burned out preaching. I burned out with missions. I burned out with the radio broadcast 5 days a week, making it live. I burned out with the jail ministry. I was juggling missionary work with jail ministry, with pastoring, with my own family's responsibilities and needs all at one time. And I burned out. Amen. But there is a rest for the children of God. Amen. I am glad that I have come back to my resting place. You know where the resting place was for the sheep? It's that enclosure that the shepherd brought them to every evening. He took them out to pasture every morning. He brought them in every evening to an enclosure. And by the way, there was no gate on that enclosure. But it was so narrow, they had to pass into it single file. Amen. He stood with that shepherd's rod, and you know what he did? He counted them as they come in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had to come single file. God don't deal with us as a group. He deals with us intimately, individually, and personally. He knows you by name. The hair of your head is numbered. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, amen, that if 99 come through and there's 100 in his fold, and he says we're one short, amen. You know what he does? The Bible said he searches until he finds it. If it takes all night, he doesn't give up. Why? Amen. Because he's a good shepherd. Amen. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to know a God like that? Yes. Who is relentless in pursuing us. Can you say amen? And he finds it and he lays it upon his shoulders. Every picture I've seen, as I told you last week, he has a lamb on his shoulder. He has a lamb around his shoulder. And it's obvious why he's carrying the lamb. You know what's not so obvious? When you see a shepherd with a full-grown sheep. And he's carrying it on his shoulder. Because that sheep can step in a gopher hole and break its leg. And it can't walk and follow. And somehow gets left. It wanders off. It's always a wandering sheep that gets into trouble. And every pastor knows about wandering sheep. Because I wonder where they are all the time. Can you say amen? Only God knows where they are, what they're doing. And some of them are simply cast sheep. They simply stumble and fall. And when they're in full wool, they lay on their back and kick like a turtle. They can't right themselves. Gas is built in their stomach, and they will die unless they're put back on their feet. And I'm going to tell you something about everybody in here before you exempt yourself from any of this. If God had not, from time to time, put you back on your feet. Yes, amen. If he had left you out there, if he wasn't the good shepherd that he is, nobody would make it. Nobody would be here today. It's by grace you're saved and by grace you're kept. Can you say amen? He's come for me again and again. When I've got discouraged, laying on my back, kicking my feet. Amen. And bah, bah, bah. Amen. But the Lord would come again and put me right. I'm walking in victory today, not because I'm a strong, great person that has developed my faith to a great height. Amen. I found my resting place. Can you say amen? He's brought me to my resting place. Oh, by the way, when he said, I'm the door of the sheepfold, you know what that meant in the New Testament? Amen. You know, they had no gate on this. It was only wide enough for a sheep to go through. No gate on it to lock. You know what the shepherd did when all of them were safe? He laid down and became a human door. He laid down at that narrow passage. That means if any predator or thief came, you didn't just have to break a lock. The security system was the shepherd. Woo! Didn't have to call Brinks. Can you say amen? Didn't have to sound an alarm. Didn't have to call the popo. How many know they can rob you and take it away before the popo can even get there? How many know what the popo is? Amen. Like Medea said, I don't need the popo. Just send an ambulance. And just she's gonna take care of business herself. Amen. Somebody tried to break in Medea's house. She said, we don't need the popo. I don't want the popo at my dodo. Send an ambulance. Well, let me tell you something. Amen. At the door of the sheepfold, who laid down in that little narrow passageway to sleep every night? The shepherd himself. And what is he saying to the thief? What is he saying to the predators that want to harm the sheep? You're going to have to walk right over top of me to get to them. Can you say amen? And I am the good shepherd. And I will lay down my life rather than let you harm one of these sheep. If you think your spiritual warfare is all based on you, you're under such pressure, you're afraid if you make a misstep, Satan's going to destroy you. Honey, there's a resting place. There's a resting place. There's a resting place. There's a resting place. I'm here to call you back to your resting place. I'm here to call you back to his fold. I'm here to call you back to the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who said the sheep my Father's given in me, them have I kept. Can you say amen? You're kept by the power of God. Somebody give God praise. You ain't keeping yourself. God is keeping you. Your flimsy, phony shield is worth nothing when you get so worried you drop it in battle. That's why David said, my shield is not just my faith, it's my God's faithfulness. Yes. Thou, O Lord, art my shield and my buckler. We should never teach spiritual warfare and the armor of God without identifying the shield, beginning with God's faithfulness, not our ability to believe. Because if I'm a cast sheep, that means my faith is wavered. What does he do when I'm a cast sheep? Does he say, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen? No, he comes for me. And he searches. Alice, he searches. He says, I am. See, he could say, you know something? That Robert, this is the fifth time that he's wandered away. And I'm sick and tired of going after him. He's not standing in faith, and he keeps falling on his back and out there bellowing and bad, and I'm sick of it. Let him just stay out there. Let him learn. No, he searches. He searches. He searches. Until what? Till he findeth it. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, newsflash. You got victory today because he kept coming for you. Oh, yeah. There's no preacher in the pulpit that's standing in victory that he didn't come in at some. Listen, the greatest ministers out there will tell you when they were a cast sheep, even in ministry, when they'd come to an end of themselves. But he came for them. He uprighted them. And if they couldn't walk, the Bible said he puts them on his shoulder and he carries them. And you know what Paul said? He said, you know when I'm the safest? It's not when I'm standing on my own. I'm the safest and the strongest when He is carrying me. When I'm weak, then am I made strong. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise. Will you stand to your feet and give God praise? Hallelujah. Listen to this. Number one on that, if you'll get ready. Psalm 37, 7 says, how many want to get back to the resting place? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bring wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those which wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. They shall what? Delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Why are God's people running from hill to hill? From idolatry to idolatry. Did you know that covetousness is as idolatry? The Bible teaches that if you're coveting what Tom Cruise has got today, and you know what's being preached out there? That their wealth is going to be given us so we can be like them. Honey, how about his wealth being given to us so we can be like him? God's agenda is to make us like his son. Amen? Oh, by the way, if you're waiting on the wealth of the world, I'd like to talk to you in about 50 years. I'd like to be here to see if you are as rich as Tom Cruise. Who wants to be as rich? Who needs to be that rich? Amen? You say, me. No, you don't. You're rich already. If you've got peace reigning in your heart, you've got something Bill Gates can't buy with money. I've seen Obama begin to get passionate now. You know what he was known when he first went into the presidency? They called him Obama, no drama. He just took it all without ever showing any real emotion. He's getting real emotional. The pressure's on. Amen? You can't buy peace. You can't get to a position where it reigns. But what is the blessing of trusting the Lord? The abundance of peace. How rich you are if you found your resting place. Can you say amen? Hebrews 4 said there is a rest for the children of God. Beware lest any of you come short of entering into it. And we've defined that rest, haven't we? The Lord is my shepherd. David said, I'm at rest. This is my resting place. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Come on. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. His rod and staff comfort me. He anoints my head with oil. My cup is running over. Surely good. All my life down here, goodness and mercy is going to follow me. And when I leave here, I'm going to dwell in his house forever. Nobody but Christians can claim that. Because nobody has a shepherd God like our God. Can you say amen? Everybody said the shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. We go out by him, don't we? He leads us. He gets up in the morning. He leads us to the green pasture. And at night when the shadows are falling, the predators are out, amen, in force, he leads us back to the security and safety of his grace and love. Lays down and becomes the door. Hallelujah. By him we go out, and by him we come in and we find pasture. Amen. We need a ministry today that will call God's people from the mountains, amen, and the hills that they're wandering on back to the resting place. And you know where it's going to be, Sean? Right at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. That's where it started. And if we want it back, what began in us, amen, we're going to have to come right back to where that peace originated. And that's saying, Jesus, it's all you. It's all about you. Praise God. How many believe that you're saved today because God didn't give up on you? Amen. Will you worship in one song before we close this morning? Are you glad to serve a God that said, I won't give up on you? Amen. Wave at me if you're here because God did not give up on you. Praise God. Bring that right up. It's from Facing the Giants. What an anointed.